In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast, brothers and sisters. We come to this first week of great and holy Lent. We've completed, by the grace of God, the first week of the great fast. And we come to this day, which is unknown to many people. The feast of the icon you see in the middle is called the Sunday of Orthodoxy, or the Triumph of Orthodoxy. What does that mean? What are we celebrating? Well, practically, we're still celebrating a very special event, especially, which is that in the year 842, there was a terrible problem in the church. Of course, icons around you are an ancient part of the church. The Apostle Luke, the evangelist, he painted the first icon of the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary with Christ's child, and there are a number of them in existence to this day. They were an essential part of the Orthodox life. They portrayed that God became flesh and you could touch him, right? And you could stick your hand in his side like Thomas. And the icon shows that God became man. So icons were a sign of Christ's incarnation, that God became man so man could become like God. So they were an essential part of the Christian life. With the growth of the church and with the growth of human pride, there's a thing called heresy. We don't like to hear about it very much. Oh, it's a heresy, heresy. We use that word all the time. But what does it mean? It means to break away from orthodoxy, right? Heterodoxy and orthodoxy. To break away, to have a different teaching. So if one's a teaching of life, the other is a teaching of death. And so there became this false idea that somehow icons were idols, like modern Protestants have this idea. Wrong. And there was a terrible time in the Christian Empire when icons were burned, taken down from churches and burned, destroyed. It was called the time of iconoclasm. You've heard about this. The iconoclasts. On the other hand, you had whack jobs on the other side who truly, it was very few of them, by the way, who had the wrong idea about icons. They were saying, icons so holy, you should take the paint and scrape the paint off and put it in the chalice to make communion more holy. Wrong. Right? We venerate the saints. We honor the icons. I know this icon is paint and wood, but it transcends. It goes to the prototype. It goes to the living God himself. An ancient tradition of the church. What we're celebrating today is that by the grace of God, the truth always prevails. And in 842, the Empress Theodora, her husband, was in terrible iconoclasm. He had died in his sins. And in the first week of Great Lent, she especially prayed with the patriarch Methodius that God would save the soul of her husband. So she prayed, like we all prayed this past week, intense prayer, fasting the services. And on this first Sunday, she came into church and she venerated an icon of the Mother of God in front of all. And she called for all the icons to be restored as the Empress in the whole Christian church. And so we celebrate that day. That's the event you see in the icon. We celebrate that triumph of Orthodoxy. But not just the triumph of Orthodoxy in that one event. If you're in a cathedral on this day, it's amazing what happens. What happens, there's a service, this service on Sunday, and then we're going to come back tonight, all of us. We're going to be joined by the other Orthodox in town tonight. So please come back for that. 6 o'clock tonight, the other priests are going to be there, they're faithful, bringing their icons. And a cathedral, the bishop would lead this. And one of the major parts is, they would proclaim the Synodicon of Orthodoxy. Proclaim what is the faith. And then they would proclaim what the faith is not. And those who had attempted to destroy the body of Christ. And they would say, let this teaching and let them be anathema. Cut off from the church. The Lord says this in the scriptures. If a brother has a problem with a brother, go to him, try to gain him. If not, after many times, let him be cut off and let him be anathema. That sounds pretty mean and rude. No. If your child is sick, and there's a hospital that can heal them, and someone dares to go in and tinker and to go in and try to poison the medicine in the hospital or to make it ineffective, you would not stand for it because your kid's life is at stake. Others' lives are at stake. We would make sure that that person who's going to cause a problem, to set a booby trap in the hospital, they'd make sure, no way. That's what the Holy Fathers were doing. To make sure the gates of hell will never prevail over the church. They're not going to let this poison of heresy and false teaching. Who cares if it's a false teaching, Father Justin? Is he God or not? Because if he's the God-man, he can save us from everything, including death. If he's just Buddy Jesus, then as nice as his words are, we still die and we should be depressed and life is totally different. You see how belief matters? It's a difference of life and death. How often did Christ say, "Who do men say that I am?" Who we think he is matters. And we proclaim that because that's the good news. That's the gospel. The good news that God became man. And so we're celebrating in that cathedral. And the cathedrals of Orthodoxy today, the bishops will have their candles they bless with. In the right hand, three candles to symbolize the Trinity. Left hand, Trikirion and the Dikirion, two candles to symbolize the two natures of Christ. And they'll sit on their throne, like here. And the deacon will read out, "Let those who teach that Christ was not fully God, let them be anathema." It's beautiful. And the bishop says, "Anathema." And he goes down with the candles as the Lord and his church is casting out poison and keeping the faith pure so that every soul in the entire world can be healed. Every human soul. It's so beautiful. So we're celebrating that event especially. But what is the triumph of Orthodoxy? Really? You know, look around us and there's a lot of death. There's a lot of destruction. There's a lot of pain and depression. It's not just a new thing, by the way. It's terrible, but it's always been that way. Think about the early Christians, by the way. They weren't powerful in a worldly way. And yet they triumphed. Think about it. The most powerful man in the whole universe for the first centuries of the church was the Roman Emperor, Caesar. And there were many of them for whom their sole interest in life, their sole purpose was to stamp out the stinking thing called Christianity, started by these idiots, by these peasants, who don't carry weapons, who don't defend themselves, who don't swear at us. They pray, they fast, they love us and pray for us when we persecute them. It infuriated them. And they said, "We'll stamp it out." You can be sure many religions were stamped out by the Romans. Many insurrections, many armies. And yet, nothing could stamp out Christ and his church. The more the Christians smiled and blessed them as they cut their heads off, the more the church grew. Right? That great word from the great, I believe it was Tertullian, he said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." The more they killed us, the more they killed the Christians, the more the faith spread. Not of this world. They couldn't believe it. And next thing you know, the king, the emperor himself is conquered by Christianity, and this entire empire becomes Christian by faith and by trust that God will never abandon his church. By humility and by faith, that's the triumph of Orthodoxy. The great triumph of Orthodoxy is that God became man. The great triumph of Orthodoxy is that the resurrection, that death has no hold on us. That after 2,000 years, no matter what happens after the Roman persecution, the Jewish persecution of the church, in every place, the Muslims trying to destroy and slaughter the Christians, you can't destroy Christianity that way. But the devil's smart. You know what he tried next? Don't attack the church from the outside. Attack it from the inside. Attack it from the inside. Fool the people, the faithful. Fool the bishops, the defenders. Arius, who taught that terrible heresy about Christ, was a priest of Alexandria. Many heretics in the church were bishops. So you see, the devil wants to get more than anything. He knows that the light of life shines in the church. And he wants this world to be in darkness. And he'll do anything to attack the body of Christ. Anything to bring one of us down. If we don't pray, if we don't fast, if we don't live this Orthodox life, he will try to destroy us and bring us down. If we're with Christ, nothing can touch us. But many times we're not with Christ. And many a person has been led astray by falsehood. But the church always defends the truth. The Lord says, "Little flock, be careful." Don't look at the modern world and go, "Orthodoxy is so small, how can it be true?" Since when have great crowds of people followed the truth? Not very often. You ever spend time in a crowd? It's a mob mentality. It's the lowest of the low. It's carnal. Fallen. And yet the gates of paradise stay open for all humanity. And this church, the body of Christ, the Orthodox Church, screams to all humanity, God wants to save your soul, and the pristine, pure hospital is waiting for you. And saints on these walls for 2,000 years have given their life. The martyrs and those priests and bishops and pious lay people who said, I will not change the faith. Tear my tongue out. Pull my eyeball out. I don't care. I will not denounce Christ. I know He was fully God. I know He was fully man. And I'll die for Him. That blood watered the church so we have it for us and our kids and our grandkids. And that same spirit will carry us until the Lord's second coming. It's so beautiful. Nothing can stop the Christians. And it happened every generation. It happened in the Muslims, Constantinople, the holy city destroyed and sacked. And yet the faith survives. The worst persecution in history under Stalin and the communists in many countries. 60 million Christians killed. I know a Russian priest told me 90% of the priests killed bishops. He never thought he would see Christianity in Russia. You know, one of the infamous presidents or prime ministers of Russia, I think it was Brezhnev, he said, I'm going to show you the last Orthodox priest in Russia on TV. The last one ever. That's what he said. And look at Russia now. I'm not being political at all. I'm saying, look, in a couple years, there'll be more churches than there ever was in the history. History. In Moscow alone, 1,000 churches. 1,000. 2,000 priests. 40 monasteries within Moscow alone. That's just one country. Romania, Bulgaria, Georgia, the Middle East. The more they kill the Christians in the Middle East, the more they conquer by the faith in Christ. Not by the sword. By the faith. By our faith. That's the triumph of Orthodoxy. The triumph of Orthodoxy, it rained last week too. There's a small little place called Dagestan. It's in one of the former Soviet republics where they had just finished the Vespers, for forgiveness Vespers, like we did last week. And these five beautiful old ladies who had just confessed the night before, received communion, and had asked forgiveness of each other, as they were walking out of the church, terrorists came and killed them. By the way, guns didn't save them. By the way, there was two armed security guards in front of the church. They were gunned down first. By the way, and these beautiful ladies died right there. It's terrible. Of course it's terrible. But not for us. We don't think like worldly people. That's a triumph of Orthodoxy. You know what happened? They made a special blessing to bury those ladies. Just yesterday, I believe they did it, this past week, on that property there. And they are martyrs of the faith. And you should see the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, Muslims, that came to the church who were going to convert to Christ because the way the church carries itself. For thy sake we are killed all the day long, it says in the scriptures. Right? Many of us live a secular mentality. Go to church, maybe I'll put the money in, pull the slot, and get my candy out. Light my candle, God will give me good things. That's not Christianity. Christianity is, we love God more than anything. More than this life even. Because we know what's coming. We know what He promised. In my house, in my mansion, there are many rooms. I prepared a place for each of you. This life is so beautiful. I love being alive. But I can't wait to die and be with Christ. And to be with all these martyrs. That's what's not of this world. A fallen, worldly Christianity, a comfortable Christianity, you see it falls apart. But you see a terrible event, murder of five ladies in front of a church, horrible by worldly standards. And it's a feast day for Orthodox people because their souls flew to the kingdom, they're saints in the church, and they are more powerful in those prayers, their prayers. These five ladies, who are much different than many of our ladies, I imagine, now their fiery prayers before the throne of God are saving us. This is the joy of Orthodoxy. Nothing can overcome it. No prison camp, no sickness, nothing. No knife to my throat, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, except for one thing. If you don't want Him. And that's the destruction of Orthodoxy. The greatest triumph of Orthodoxy is when it happens in your heart. When you say, I will put on this victory of Christ. If you do, nothing can stop you. Nothing can break you. There's no depression you can't get out of. There's nothing that can't be healed. Nothing. No sin that can't be healed. It's the greatest triumph in the world. That's why we're going to build a new church. That's why the church is full with so many catechumens, because they feel that Christ triumphs over all their junk, all their depression, all their terrible sins. It's the only true triumph in this entire world, brothers and sisters. We celebrate an event more than 1,000 years ago. We celebrate the greatest event in history that's constantly open to us. God became man so he could take us to the kingdom of heaven. My question is, what are we going to do about it? And I offer that if you want to honor this triumph of orthodoxy, you make that triumph take place in your heart. You promise to never abandon Christ. If you're not baptized, you get baptized. And if you are, you're constantly renewing and saying, I'm going to live for him. We're in this beautiful 40 days fast, brothers and sisters, and to acknowledge, I don't love him like I should. My heart and my life is not a triumph of orthodoxy. It's a failure. Join the club. But it needn't stay that way. Because if we repent in these 40 days, if we pray, if we fast, if we love each other, if not now, when, brothers and sisters? This is the time for salvation. This is the time to experience God like never before. And God willing, when we scream, Christ is risen, it'll be a few short weeks it'll feel like. It'll be a ring of triumph. A triumph that will not just be in this church, but will echo to this whole needy world in this valley, which is dying. People are dying in the failure of their sins. May people see the resurrection of Christ, the greatest good news, the only good news, the only thing new. May they see it on our faces, in our lives, and may the triumph of orthodoxy set a holy fire in us, in this church, in this valley around us, to bring many to the love of Christ and to the doors of paradise. This is the true triumph of the church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.